ईश्वराय विद्महे सत्यदेवाय धीमहि तन्नः सर्वः प्रचोदयात्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
Om Shri Sai Ram. We offer a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And we are here to continue the satsang that we started a fortnight ago. We have had a beautiful Aradhana Mahotsav celebration. And like the past two episodes, we have Brother Bishu from the Media Center. We have Brothers Giridhar and Amai from the Center for Human Values. The Aradhana Mahotsav, as we've been talking about, is certainly a time when you look back, you reflect, there is a certain craving, there is a certain sense that we miss something that we had, something that was so precious, there is no more in our possession, so to say. But even when you have an emotion like that, as Swami would often teach us, it is also important to look back at those things that are with us, that have been gifted to us. And the more we cherish what has been gifted to us already, I think that itself makes us more worthy of receiving more from Him. And I think it is in that sense, and it is in that emotion, that we are going through a few gifts that Swami has gifted us. The first one that we spoke about is that of the name and the form, the beautiful form and the name that helps us recollect that form. We spoke about that. In the second session, we spoke about the Charitra, the Leelas of the Lord, the Bhagavatam, the Sai Bhagavatam that Swami has given us. Today we are here to carry this discussion forward to the third jewel. And as we've been saying in the past couple of episodes, these are not the only jewels. These are not the only things that Swami has bestowed on us. But these are three things which are universal. It applies to everybody. Whoever comes to Swami's fold even now, I think can cherish and can benefit from these gifts. And in that sense, we are going to talk about the third gift, which is again, we are all very fond of and which is very dear to us.
Yes, and the third blessing that is a gift from the Sri Sathya Sai Avatar is Prashantinilayam, is this Dhamma, isn't it, this heaven that all of us have this opportunity where we can bask His love, where we can feel His presence. In fact, that takes me back to the very day when Prashantinilayam was inaugurated, November 23rd, 1950. It was a 10-day celebration and Bhagwan came in a procession from the old mandir. And amidst Jai Jai Kars, when Bhagwan put His foot into the sacred presence of Prashantinilayam, at the conclusion of that ceremony, Bhagwan said, "I am naming this place, this abode, as Prashanti Nilayam." Do you know what it means? Prashanti is supreme peace. So this is the abode of supreme peace. And this place will give you the mind of a newborn child, Swami said. This is the purity that it will give you. The mind of a newborn. And Swami said, why does rebirth happen? It happens because of our thoughts. This place will give you that purity of thought so that you come out of the cycle of birth and death. And Swami says, this place is called Putta Parthi. Do you know what is the significance? Putta in Telugu means birth. Parthi means no. Putta Parthi is the place which will ensure that you don't have rebirths. And Swami said, if you stay in Prashantinilayam, if you stay in this sacred Dhamma and you undertake any penance, any sadhana, any japa, any dhyana, this place will grant you that blessing of coming out of the cycle of coming and going. And that is how blessed this sacred spot on earth, that Prashantinilayam, is. In fact, I am also reminded of this beautiful interaction that happened with Namagiri Amma. She's the mother of Karunamma Ramamurthy, who's written that beautiful book, Sri Satyasai Ananda Dai. So in those old days, in the Patha Mandiram days, you know, where they had just a makeshift bathroom for ladies and all the men would go to the Chitravati. And so when she was coming out after her shower, so she had this little container where there was water and she was sprinkling water as she was walking, because, you know, she belonged to that Orthodox family, Orthodox tradition. So she thought the place is polluted, you know, because there are so many people walking around. There's a very small courtyard. So she would sprinkle the water, and I have seen those old ladies, you know, then they would walk on those water, because now you have purified that place. So Swami saw her doing that. Why are you doing this? She said, no, Swami, I'm just, you know, removing the pollution and then walking. Swami laughed and Swami said, look at my feet. Do you know what is there? Shankha and chakra, that is there in the feet. And that is what literally Bhagwan's people who have, I know a Sai brother who had this opportunity to look at Bhagwan's feet. And he did see that shankha and chakra on Bhagwan's feet. Swami said, this is the sacred feet that is walking all around. You cannot make this place anything more sacred than what these feet can do. So don't do these antics. This place is sacred because I am walking around. And then Swami said, do you know why you have got this chance to stay in Puttaparthi? Because your ancestors had served the acharyas. Because your ancestors had the opportunity to serve holy men. That is the reason why you are now getting this chance to stay in Prashantilayam. And in fact, their forefathers had the opportunity to host and serve the Mathadipati of Sringeri Math. They had literally done that. Only when Bhagwan mentioned that, you know, they recollected that blessing that that family had. So I think this is a place where every inch is sacred because he has walked, and this is the place which will take us out of the cycle of birth and death. That is Prashanti for us, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, something very special about Puttaparthi is, if one looks at the lives of all the masters who have tread upon the earth, you will notice one thing, that their birthplace, their Janmakshetra and their Karyakshetras have always been different. Mm-hmm. Krishna was born in Mathura, but his Karyakshetra was Vrindavan and later on Hastinapura or Dwaraka. Lord Ramachandra, his birthplace is Ayodhya, but Dandakaranya and Lanka was his Karyakshetra. If you look at even Shirdi Baba, his Janmakshetra is Patri, but his Karyakshetra was Shirdi. And even Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, but his Karyakshetra was Jerusalem. Right? So one looks at all the avatars, all the great masters, Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi, everybody, this is the only place possibly where the avatar chose his Janmakshetra and his Karyakshetra to be the same. He was born literally 500 meters away from where he lived his entire life. And not only that, it was not that he restricted himself to only Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. In fact, every building, in fact, if one goes to the college, our teachers tell us that every flower pot, every table and chair, Swami would come to the college to inaugurate that.
Not only every department,
every chair and flower pot. We have seen Swami, he has inaugurated the South Indian canteen, the Western canteen, the North Indian. Every single building has directly got that.
Even this sacred space.
Yes.
Media center.
We are sitting right now.
Bhagwan had... He was here for what, an hour?
Yeah.
He sat here for an
inchi,
hour.
So inchi inchi, when Swami says inchi inchi, he has literally tread every single, you know, that brings us to this point, which is when we used to go, you know, people take these Char Dham Yatras and we go to, you know, Uttarakhand, which is considered Deva Bhumi. And you literally go through the whole tour and people will say, this was the place where this happened and that happened. And literally you don't know which stone you're sitting on. Probably because, you know, Draupadi or Pandavas or
somebody
Rama,
had sat
some character
there,
from
or
Ramayana.
This pool where the Pandavas had taken bath,
etc. And, you know, they would have done that for an hour, two hours, 1 week. This is a place where for 85 years, non-stop has seen the life, you know, of the avatar. And so that is why I think Prashanti Nilayam is one of the gifts, greatest gifts that this avatar
is. Dr. Venkatraman would always say, this is the most love-charged place on the planet.
Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, you know, I recall one what one of my teachers would say when we were in the hostel. And so you go to any of these pilgrimage centers like Tirupati or where there are these, you know, big temples. We give a lot of importance to the deity, and the next most important thing is the prasadam, right? That's what you can carry home and probably share with others. We give so much of importance and we treat it with such sacredness and sanctity, which is due to it. This teacher of ours would tell us, imagine most of this prasadam is made in a kitchen, which is probably a few buildings away from the sanctum, and it is brought in front of the deity and it is distributed. In so many places, it is not even brought in front of the deity. You know, just one bowl or one bowl. is brought, and the rest is distributed as prasadam. He says, imagine how many hundred times Swami has walked into the kitchen of the hostel. Can there be any food which is more sacred than the food that is served in the hostel? And I think that holds true even for the canteens, right? How many times Swami has visited the Western canteen? How many times Swami has been to the Southern canteen? Every food that is served there is prasadam, right? And I think that's the beauty of the physical presence. A few years back, I had heard this talk by one of the doctors who visits our super specialty hospital as a visiting doctor. He works in a hospital in Bangalore. So one day when he was taking a class for his in NIMHANS or something, he gets a call saying that, you know, there's a patient who is here. Probably you'll be interested to have a look at him. So this person says, has he come for me? No, he has not come for you. He's not come for anybody in the hospital. He has just come to pick up a doctor who's supposed to accompany him to a doctor in Delhi. But it's a very interesting case. Maybe you'd be interested to see it because it's in your field. So he said, all right, I'll finish my classes. If he's still there, I'll come and meet him. So he finishes his classes and he completely forgets about it. Then he gets another call from the reception saying that, would you like to see him? He's still here. So he says, okay, let's see what is so interesting about this person. And then he goes there. This happens to be one of the governors of one of the countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. And he has come with his whole retinue of doctors and nurses and legal professionals. And Emirates has come and dropped him personally in Bangalore, and the flight is waiting for him. So there's a lot of things happening around him. So he goes and sees that very dignified gentleman, but he has a tumor which is the size of a football.
Wow.
Right? And so he introduces himself, looks at the case, and he says, yes, it's a simple procedure that needs to be done, and I think whatever has been recommended for you, it's the right thing. So then he goes away. Then after some time, this African gentleman again comes to him and says that it's taking a little time. Would you like to look at my case again? So again, he looks at it and he says, nothing more to say. So he says, is there anything you want to ask me? Then very hesitantly, he says, the only thing I want to ask you is, why did you let it grow so big? It's a small thing, you know, a few years ago, you could have done the surgery and it's so large. Then he says, you know, I have a spiritual master back in my hometown, an African spiritual master. Whatever decision I take, I go to him and I say, can I do this? So 20 years back when I was diagnosed with this, I went to him and he said, no surgery, don't do anything. Right? So I left it and it kept growing. And all of a sudden, a couple of weeks back, he called me and told me that get it operated. And I said, why did he say that? I mean, same thing. When I was so angry with him, I said, why did you let me have this for so long? He said, no, that was not the time. Now is the time. And then he said, go to India and get it operated. I said, I don't know anybody in India. I've never been there. You know, he had worked in the Wall Street and all that. I know people in New York. I'll probably go and get it done there. He said, no, you go to India and the surgeon who's supposed to perform surgery on you will come to you. He says, all right. And he asks his people to find out which is the best hospital in India. He's told, go to AIIMS in Delhi. And the doctor who was supposed to accompany him was stuck up in this hospital in Bangalore. And so he has come, taken a detour to pick up this doctor and go. In all this confusion, you know, he's stuck up in this hospital. And while talking to this doctor, he says, even as I'm talking to you, I have a sense that probably you're the surgeon who's supposed to perform the surgery on me. He says, I don't know. He says, give me a minute, I'll call up my master. Right? This was in 2015 or something like that. So he calls up his master and tells him this whole thing that he has done. He said, who asked you to go to Delhi? I told you, your doctor is going to come to you, and he's the doctor.
Wow.
So that's how he eventually becomes a surgeon. And during the course of that interaction, one day he sees a picture of Swami in his room. And then he says, oh, okay, so that's the connection. So then he goes on to say that one day when he was traveling in a car with his master in his country, suddenly the master said, stop. And they got off from the car. And the master pointed to a house. And he said, that house is more valuable than the entire real estate of the whole country.
Wow.
He said, if you can buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what's so special about that? So he said, the universal master stayed in that house for a few days. The country happens to be Uganda, and that happens to be the house Swami stayed in. Right?
Wow,
and this person is a governor of one of the states of Uganda. A place which Swami stayed in. I mean, that's the only country which Swami visited. I mean, only overseas trip that Swami made. A house where Swami stayed for a few days is more valuable than the entire country. You know, here is this sacred space with Swami, as you said, the Janma Bhumi as well as the Karma Bhumi of the Lord. How very, every inch of this place must be so sacred, isn't it?
Yes, it is sacred.
Totally. In fact, when you are mentioning about the spiritual master of this governor, I'm reminded of another spiritual master in the holy city of Vrindavan, who had told one of the devotees that, see, wherever you go in these times, you must wear footwear and go. It's important because the roads are unclean, they are dirty, and the vibrations are not good. It's not kept clean. It is only in holy places that you can go without any footwear. And he specially told him, when you are inside Prashantinilayam, you don't have to wear any footwear, because that is the most sacred of bhumis, the land, the most sacred land in the entire earth today.
Wow.
So you don't have to wear footwear inside Prashantinilayam. But otherwise, you must take care, he said. You know. Another thing that comes to my mind is, as you said, even this incident happened post Mahasamadhi, and there are many devotees who wonder how they can connect to Swami in this scenario after the Mahasamadhi in 2011. This story actually happened in December 2011, a good 8 months after Swami's Mahasamadhi. An international delegation visited Swami's university here, and they had come to study how to integrate human values in the education system. In fact, they were all from Islamic universities. There were brothers and sisters in the delegation who came from Islamic countries, who had Islamic universities, but they wanted to know, because human values are universal in nature, they wanted to find out how to integrate them into the education system. And they were told by the highest education body in India that if you want to do that, you must go to the university in Prashantinilayam. So they visited Prashantinilayam, and something extraordinary happened. One of the professors who were part of the delegation, he was sitting in a presentation where the integral system of Swami's education was being presented to them. Suddenly he said, it's very simple for us to grasp that everything that happens here is based on the teachings of Satya Sai Baba. But what really is the foundational teachings of Sri Satya Sai Baba? We would like to know, he said. And before we could endeavor to reply, he got up from his chair and he went to the whiteboard. And he said, let me explain the spiritual foundations from which we come, so that, you know, we are on the same page for the discussion ahead. And he is from a Sufi background. So he went to the board and he drew one line and he wrote earth there. He drew seven lines above that. And he called them the higher skies, the upper skies. And then he drew seven lines below and said, these are the lower earths. And he spoke about the human being's journey while they are on earth. Their mindset, their energy, the thoughts that they entertain determine whether they will dwell actually in the higher skies or in the lower earths, depending on their thought, word and deed. And he finally summarized and said, beyond all of this is pure energy. And in our tradition, we believe that one must know themselves to be in union with that in energy. That is our true identity. So it became easy for us to, you know, explain We just went back onto the board and put Sanskrit words of Bhur, Bhuvasuva, Mahar, Janah, Tapa, Lokas and so on and so forth. And we said, beyond this energy, there is a Sat principle, a presence, which is the Purusha. Shakti and Shiva are one and the same. And that Shiva Shakti is our true identity, is the foundation of the Indian tradition as well, is where we found common ground. After this discussion ensued, we were moving out and this gentleman came up to me and he said, it is so wonderful, I am experiencing the beautiful energy of Sai Baba. So I was very happy to hear that he, I thought it's the environment and the ambience, because it does that to many people. And I told him, sir, can you be more elaborate? How are you experiencing the energy of Sai Baba? He went on to say that I saw Sai Baba. So I just, just to clarify, I told him that Bhagwan had left his mortal coil just that April in 2011. He said, yes, I know about it. I heard as soon as I came here. This was their first ever visit to India. Obviously to Prashant Nilayam, first ever visit. And no idea about Satya Sai Baba before this. So he said, I know, I heard that when I came here. But I experienced him, I saw him. When I was explaining, these are his words, he said, when I was explaining the Sufi concept to you, there was a chair kept on the dais and Sai Baba was seated there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going back to my seat, I saw him and I'm just repeating his words verbatim. He said, I am not a Hindu, but I felt like bowing down to him. Mm-hmm. And when I bowed down to him, very lovingly, he took his hand and put it on my head. And that is the experience I'm talking about. I still feel his touch, his energy in my body right now. He pointed to his head.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not just that. This was a Wednesday. The next day, we have a moral class session every Thursday in the university. And one of our senior professors, a loving devotee of Swami, Professor Nanjundaya Garu, he had come. And he spoke beautifully about the various letters that Swami had written to him. And at the end of the session, of course, as usual, we give aarti to Swami and conclude the session. After that, we got up to take the delegation to their next meeting. And this gentleman who had experienced Swami came to us and said, so Sai Baba gives such benediction every day to you all? So I was quite stunned. I said, sir, did you see him again? He said, yes, when the professor was speaking, this long chair, that is the Swami's throne that is kept on the stage. He said, this long chair that you see, he came and he sat there on the throne. And when you were waving that fire and clapping, you know, you were doing something, singing. They obviously are not familiar with aarti, right? So he said that. And exactly at that time, he got up from the chair. Now, only those who have seen Swami and experienced him here in Prashant Nilayam know that when aarti starts, Swami gets up from the chair. This was his description. And this is his first visit after Mahasamadhi. And he says, Sai Baba came forward to the edge of the stage and he looked at all of you and he said so clearly and loudly with his hand like this, he said, move from every body to every soul. Every soul to one soul to God. Means from Deha Vimana to Atma Vimana. Know that this Atma is same in every being. And in realizing that, know that I am Atma Brahma. That is, this Atma is verily the Brahman who is Supreme Divinity or God. This is the message that Bhagwan delivered to him on that day in Prashant Dinilayam, December 2011. You know, and he had numerous such experiences. His guru from his tradition, Sufi tradition, in his country, actually is a saint from the 15th century. And he also strived hard, the guru strived hard to bring in harmony between the Hindu and Muslim brothers and sisters at that time itself. So he came in his meditation and said, you go to India and you see this divine personage. And he gave him a vision of a divine personage. And this professor, when he had come to Prashant Nilayam, first he saw Swami, but he still didn't see that divine personage whom he was shown. So during the university visits, there were also campus visits. So the delegation had gone to the Anantapur women's campus of Swami's university, and he came back from that trip and he was overjoyed. And he called me aside and said, "Do you know what? My trip is fulfilled. I have seen Satya Sai Baba, and I have also seen the divine personage whom my master specifically told I should see." And who was that? That was none other than Shirdi Sai Baba. He called him as Maulana Shirdi. That was the words he used. He said, "Maulana Shirdi is whom my master asked me to see, and I saw him." And it was strange, because when he was sharing all these extraordinary experiences, we in fact took him to the administrative block of the university so he could share this formally with the administrators, and he did so. And while coming down, casually I told him, "Sir, do you know that Maulana Shirdi's another name is Shirdi Sai Baba? And Shirdi Sai Baba is only reincarnated as Satya Sai Baba." And he said, "Oh, is it so?" And he started laughing loudly. I wanted to tell this, but I was wondering if I say that my Muslim fakir, Maulana Shirdi, is actually your guru, Satya Sai. I thought you may take it otherwise, but I experienced this in reality. I saw both of them and they showed me that Maulana Shirdi and Satya Sai are one and the same. This was the experience that he had in Prashanthi Nilayam of Bhagavan's divine presence.
Can there be a more complete experience?
Yeah.
You know, you not only experience the place, you experience yes. Bhagavan, you both see his previous avatars. Oh gosh,
both
this is
forms,
like...
Both names.
Both names. This is partiality actually.
But must add this point, one thing about that person. I think I also wondered, Swami, you are giving him such exclusive experiences, why not us? But it was when he was describing his daily schedule, I think the secret lies there. And he said that entire day he is a professor, so he teaches his subjects as a worshipful act to the Lord. Wow. And the entire night he sits and meditates on the divine principle. Mm-hmm. And he actually only sleeps for 2 hours or 3 hours in early hours of the morning. But otherwise the entire day is spent in service to the Lord in whatever profession he does, and the whole night he meditates. So sadhana, I think, is the way to experience Bhagavan in Prashanthi.
Absolutely, and I think definitely no better place than Prashanthi to do sadhana. And you know, I remember when Bhagavan was there, we used to always feel that, you know what, we are breathing the same air that the physical body is also breathing, you know. You're walking in the same steps where, I remember in our school days, when there were sands, and we would go back from Prashanthi with those sand particles in our hand. Even till this day, I have those sand particles, because Swami stepped on that, right? And you take that immediately after darshan. I mean, that is how precious every speck of Prashanthi is. Let me narrate something that happened very recently, 2018. Dr. Ravi Dabir, who serves in our Sri Satya Sai General Hospital in the dental department. So he was in the US for his son's wedding. He stays in Prashanthi Nilayam, but generally does not go out for more than, you know, 1 or 2 weeks. But this was son's wedding, so 2 months he was there. And the night before the wedding, suddenly he gets a heart attack. And so emergency is called in, and you know, he's admitted, and they stabilize his condition and all that. And the doctors say that, you know, you have to get a procedure done, a cath procedure done. But Dr. Ravi Dabir says, "No, I don't want anything to be done." They said, "Then you have to, you know, sign the document saying you are taking that risk, because given your condition, we cannot allow you to leave the hospital unless, you know, we do this procedure, or you go to some other hospital, premium hospitals, and get the procedure done." He says, "Tomorrow is my son's wedding. I don't want anything to be done. I will sign whatever you want me to sign." And so he comes out of the hospital, the son's wedding happens, and then he comes back to Prashanthi Nilayam. And his brother, Dr. Sundareshan, who at that time was the director of Whitefield Super Speciality Hospital, he said, "You come to Bangalore, you know, I will get all the tests done." He said, No, I want to come to Parthi." So he comes to Parthi, and he says, the moment he crossed that Ganesh circle, right, where we take the turn to come inside Prashanthi Nilayam, considered Puttaparthi, says, when I took that turn, suddenly there was this gush of air that hit me. And mind you, it was an AC car. Windows were not open. But that
air which hit him overwhelmed him so much. And he said, and after that, in a few seconds after that, he suddenly felt that he was healed.
Wow.
He was just completely healed. And later on, he did go to the hospital, do the checkups done, and they said, your heart is how it was, like, normally how it was before you went to US. That's how it is fine.
Wow.
And later on, he revealed to me that that night also, when he was in the emergency, Bhagwan came in his dream. Swami said, you come to Puttaparthi. You don't have to go anywhere. And that's what he also wanted to do. He was missing Parthi. Even now, he never leaves Parthi for a longer time. He says, if I leave Parthi for longer periods, I will have all these aches and pains and everything all over my body. I am very peaceful. I'm very happy. And that is how the nourishing, healing air of Prashanti is, isn't it? I think those who have experienced it, they know about it.
Yeah. And in fact, many, many people feel like that about Prashanti. It's, you know, a lot of devotees talk about the recharge that happens.
Yes.
I think just coming back over here, it's like recharging your batteries.
Just when you enter the arch, you kind of feel like you're welcome.
Yes. Yes. In fact, talking about this, I'm reminded of yet another incident that happened post Mahasamadhi about just this place, you know, and its power. And so this happened to a particular lady who was comes from a very poor background. She comes from Kerala and very poor background. The whole family is going through a lot of troubles.
Okay.
And somebody tells her, you should go and do Prashanti Seva. And she takes this as an opportunity to, you know, come here and kind of pray to Bhagwan, much against, you know, the wishes of the family. Mm-hmm. In fact, her husband is not doing too well. Her husband is sick.
Okay.
And so people tell her, you know, why will you leave your husband like this and go? And she says, no, this urge is coming. Maybe I'll go there and I'll pray and I'll do seva and things like that. Comes from a very poor background. The only gold piece that she has on her body, you know, is her Mangal Sutra, right? So that is that is how poor she is.
Yeah.
She comes over here and she is doing her seva. And one evening after she finished her seva in the South Indian canteen, you know, as she is retiring back for the day, she notices that her Mangal Sutra is missing.
Oh.
Okay, now, first of all, you know, multiple things.
Yeah.
It's a bad omen, you know, for the Mangal Sutra to be missing. For a Hindu woman,
it's quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And that too, her husband is not well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it's the only gold piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's something that she can, if she needs some money, there's the only thing that she can pawn to actually get some.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's frantic. She's absolutely, she goes, she searches all over the place. There's no chance that those little two, you know, where is she going to search? And now, you know, lots of negative thoughts start to enter. Oh my God, is my husband, you know, fine? And my relatives had told me not to go to Prashanti and I disobeyed them. Oh my God. And just mentally she prays to Swami, Swami, I am not going to go back. There's no way I can go back. What face will I show, you know, my relatives? Devastated. And she starts to pray. And her 10 days of seva also gets over.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's not in a position to go back. She says, I'll just continue to stay here because I don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
One evening after the bhajans, you know, in the mandir, she's standing in the line to go towards the samadhi, okay, towards the sannidhi to take the... And a little girl, you know, rocks up to her and says, she had come little late because she had continued to do seva. She had missed the prasadam for that day. So one of the small girls runs up to her and says, you don't have prasadam, no, take this prasadam, and puts the laddu packet in her hand. And she feels very happy and she goes, she bows down, she's coming out, she opens the laddu, the packet, and embedded in the laddu is her Mangal Sutra.
Oh, wow. Embedded in the laddu.
In the laddu.
So prasadam in the prasadam.
Yeah, prasadam in the prasadam.
I went to the shed back, and I was taking the prasadam to give it to distribute to all. When I opened this prasadam, my hand, when my hand was taken inside the prasadam, I got the rope with the tali. I was astonished. I could not say anything. At that time, the rope was tied over the prasadam and the lingam was embedded inside the prasadam.
And, you know, needless to say, you know, how what jubilation and what relief and what joy she must have felt, because now she was doubly blessed. You know, that not only was her Mangal Sutra back with her, but now it has come as a prasadam, as gift of Bhagwan, almost to tell her, like, don't worry, I am with you. You know, why fear when I am here?
Yes.
And of course, her husband is fine. You know, and so we had an opportunity to go see her, see that Mangal Sutra, because now that was Bhagwan's gift of Mangal Sutra. It became a miracle, you know.
Yes.
And so it has been documented also quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that is the power of Prashanti, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the power that one can almost feel like palpitations.
Yes.
So
everything becomes auspicious, Mangalam.
Yes.
You come into the sacred space, everything becomes sacred, isn't it?
Totally. And I think, not just that Prashanti Nilayam is a sacred space, it is also something else very important.
Mm.
And to present that perspective to us, there is this article that Kasturi ji had written in the 1958 Sanatan Sarathi, the September edition. And Kasturi ji writes that few years before that, during Dashara celebrations, it was the fourth day of Dashara celebrations, the night that would go into the fifth. And that night, after 9:30 p.m., Swami comes out and says that he needs strong and hefty boys who can, you know, do some work that is necessary.
Physical work.
Physical work, hard work that is necessary. So, obviously, the word was spread around, and if Swami had asked for 12 boys, you know, 24 boys landed for the seva. And everybody was eagerly waiting to know what is this unique seva for which in the night time after 9:30 Swami is calling them to. So Swami came down from his room and he went to these boys and said, see, do you see the buntings and the flags that have been put all around Prashanti Nilayam? So around the building, in the garden, everywhere there was, you know, festivities. So there were festoons, buntings and flags. Swami pointed to them and said, see, they are all faded. So I want you to replace every single flag and every single bunting that is decorating Prashanti Nilayam and the gardens. So that is the work. So they all got into the job and it was hard work. They got into it and they started doing.
With brand new. Obviously.
With brand new flags, colorful flags, colorful festoons and buntings and whatnot. And they were going about this job and Swami was all the time with them throughout the night.
Oh,
Swami did not sleep. He was with them, encouraging them. One of them somehow had the audacity, as Kasturi ji writes, to ask Swami, Swami, who is coming tomorrow? What is special about the fifth day? For 4 days these festoons and buntings were there. What is special about the fifth day of Dashara? Is, you know, some king coming or some Raja, Maharaja or Prime Minister? Who is coming tomorrow that you are asking us to replace all this overnight? Swami said, hey, don't know? Your own dear brothers and sisters, our Daridra Narayanas are coming.
Oh.
And tomorrow Narayan Seva is there. So I want to welcome them to their home. These were the words of Swami. I want to welcome them to their home. This is their home. So is it not our responsibility to decorate it to the best possible, in the best possible way, so that they come and see Prashanti Nilayam fresh, beautiful and colorful? It is for their sake, the Daridra Narayanas.
So it is not kings and ministers who are coming. It is gods, Narayanas who are coming.
Yeah, verily Lord Narayana in the form of Daridra Narayanas, the poorest of the poor. They were coming to Prashanti. Swami said this is their home and they are coming here. The next day, in fact, another incident happened. When the Narayan Seva was going on, it was such a grand celebration of Dashara in the form of Narayan Seva, that somebody came and asked Swami, Swami, can we put this in the newspaper? What a grand ceremony and celebration this is. Shall we put this in the newspaper? Swami had a very simple and immediate reply. Bhagavan said, when your own closest relatives come to your home and you clean up your house, decorate your house for the festival and you feed them, will you publish that news in the newspaper? See, that is the feeling that Bhagavan has. Prashanti Nilayam is our home. This is your and our home. And you come here to meet your mother and father, that is Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Yeah. So that is the sacred space. It's not just sacred, it is the most personal space for each one of us.
I think that's the important, beautiful point, which is, there may be a lot of sacred spaces in the world, but this is our space. It is our mother's, our home.
You know, that sense of, you know, this is my home. There was one very beautiful episode. Narrated by, I don't recall his name, one of our very senior functionaries in the organization. In the 60s and 70s, when they would come for birthday celebrations or Shivratri celebrations, you know, Swami would give a discourse at the end of the next day, the devotees would start going back. So these people who were in charge of the canteens or the Sevadal coordinators, Swami would call them for an interview or Swami would call them to their room upstairs and then send them off. Right, give them a session, speak to them and send them off. So in one of those sessions, this one devotee told Swami that, Swami, we are so fortunate that we are able to have a word with you before we return to our houses. And so many other thousands of devotees who come, sometimes we feel that they don't have this blessed opportunity that we have. Swami said, no, you got it wrong. Swami said, they are more blessed than you are. And they said, how is that? And then Swami told that, you know, there is this tradition that suppose the daughter of the house is married and given to another family, when she visits the mother's house, Swami said, the girl will not be sent off like that.
Yes.
The girl will be taken and dropped in her house and then they will come back. You know, her parents will go drop her in her house and come back.
Okay.
Swami said, like that, all these devotees have come to their mother's house. So I don't send them off here. I go with them, and leave them in their house and then I come back.
Yes.
Right? That sense of this is Swami's, this is my mother's home. This is, you know, that feeling.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, so many such thoughts come to mind.
There's one more thought that, you know, when we were talking about this and we have a few minutes. So there's one, this incident that happened. Our former registrar of our university was narrating this. That those were the days when the boys would spend a lot of time. Students, the Prashanti Nilayam campus had not yet come. So it was only the Vrindavan campus and all the students would had come here right from Dasara up to birthday. You know, 2 months they had spent in proximity and birthday celebrations were over and now they were returning back to Vrindavan. And typically near the Gopuram, all the buses would be lined up and all the students would get into the buses to leave. And it was in the afternoon, you know, after the morning darshan, have their lunch and get into the buses and leave. And, you know, typically we all know all the Vrindavan boys, which is, there will be a Jai Bolo Bhagwan, you know, kind of to tell Swami, Swami, you know, we are actually leaving, you know, if you want to change your mind. So, Jai Bolo started there with Jai Jai cars and the buses start to leave. And Bhagwan was in the interview room and Professor Kasturi. And this registrar sir was there and Swami was just sitting very sullen, you know, and Kasturi Garu took the liberty to tell Swami, you know, we know that you are feeling so sad that all the students are leaving. Don't worry, Swami, within a few months, you know, by Sankranti time, they will be back here. And he was trying to console Bhagwan. And at that time, Swami said, Kasturi, I am not feeling bad because my students are leaving. He made a very important point. He said, I'm feeling sad that for these last 2 months, I ensured that their attention was only on me. Now they are going back into the world, they will be distracted. And that distraction is not good for their spiritual progress. That is why I am feeling sad. See, I think that is the power of Prashanti, that when we are here, we are completely focused on Bhagwan, on our spiritual progress. We go back into the world and there is a chance that the lure of the world will take us away from our Lord and our mother and father feel sad for that. You know, I think that is another reason why Prashanti is so important is a lot of devotees tell us, isn't it? They come here, no newspaper, you know.
Put off all the gadgets.
No gadgets, no television, nothing to distract us. And I think that is one more speciality I thought I should share this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is a feeling that every devotee has, you know, that when you are in Prashanti, your mind is so much focused. And Swami says Prashanti is a space that enables you to feel that nearness, feel that closeness with Bhagwan. And I think that is the reason why it is not just Shanti, it is Prashanti. You might get Shanti here and there, but
supreme peace.
Supreme peace. Supreme peace comes because you are supremely focused on Bhagwan, and that's what this place enables. And as we were discussing Giridhar and Prem about how everyone feels like this is their space, you know, just like, you know, though we know of Bhagwan, he is the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, all of us will know he is my Swami. He is my God. You know, we all have our own connection with Swami. And I feel it's the same with Prashanti. You know, we feel, yes, Prashanti, yes, it is the avatars, Janma Bhumi, Karma Bhumi, all that. But it is my Prashanti. You know, we feel that connection, isn't it? And that's why the moment you step in, you feel this air is different, this feel is different. I'm feeling very, very different. It's not an experience that I can experience anywhere else. And I feel the reason for this is because the avatar, as we discussed, he spent 86 years in this space, and literally every stone, every brick has the Shankha and Chakra, those insignia of Bhagwan. And just like we long for the darshan of Satyasai Avatar, I feel the Dhamma also is like that. You know, we long for darshan. I know of people, if they see that arch, you see the dome, you feel, oh wow, I have seen, you know, I have come to my home. So, dear brothers and sisters, we thought it would be nice to not only talk about Prashanti Nilayam, but let us also have darshan of Prashanti Nilayam. You will see Bhagwan walking in barefoot, walking in chappals. Swami is seeing the construction of so many buildings. Swami is walking around the offices. Swami is walking around so many places, as we were discussing. Swami has gone to every canteen and every office. So this is a little offering which will help you to get darshan of your Prashanti.
వాళ్ళందరూ వచ్చారు, స్వామి మేమందరూ ఇక్కడికి రావాలంటే చాలా కష్టంగా ఉంటున్నది, మీరే మైసూర్కి రండి, మేము ఒక ప్యాలెస్ అంతా ఇస్తాము అన్నారు.
ఆల్ బిగ్ బిగ్ పీపుల్ కేమ్ ఫ్రమ్ మైసూర్ అండ్ బెంగళూరు అండ్ సెడ్ స్వామి వీ ఫైండ్ ఇట్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు కమ్ టు పుట్టపర్తి, కమ్ టు మైసూర్, ఐ యు ప్యాలెస్. స్వామి సెడ్ ప్యాలెస్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్,
కనుక నేను ఇక్కడే ఉండాలన్నాను.
ఐ డిసైడెడ్ టు స్టే హియర్.
ఆనాడు రాత్రి ఈశ్వరమ్మ వచ్చి ఏడ్చింది.
దట్ నైట్ ఈశ్వరమ్మ కేమ్ అండ్ క్రైడ్.
ఎందరో వచ్చేసేసి కోరుతున్నారు,
స్వామి మెనీ ఆర్ కమింగ్ అండ్ ప్రే,
వాళ్ళ వాళ్ళ స్వార్థం కోసమని,
ఫర్ దేర్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్,
స్వామిని ఇక్కడ రండి అక్కడ రండి అని తీసుకుని పోతున్నారు.
దే వాంట్ యూ టు గో దేర్ అండ్ హియర్ అండ్ దేర్.
మీరు పుట్టబర్తి వదిలితే నేను బ్రతకను.
ఇఫ్ యూ లీవ్ పుట్టబర్తి ఐ డోంట్ లివ్ ఎనీ లాంగర్.
కనుక మీరు పుట్టబర్తిలోనే ఉండాలి.
యూ షుడ్ డెఫినెట్లీ స్టే హియర్.
నాకు మాట ఇవ్వండి అని.
స్వామి మేక్ ఏ ప్రామిస్ టు మీ.
నేను ఇచ్చాను మాట.
స్వామి ప్రామిస్డ్
ఏనాటికైనా నేను పుట్టబర్తి వదలను అని ఇచ్చేసేసాను.
స్వామి గేవ్ ఏ ప్రామిస్ టు ఈశ్వరమ్మ, ఎనీ డే ఐ విల్ నెవర్ లీవ్ దిస్ పుట్టబర్తి.
అందువల్లనే పుట్టబర్తినే నేను ఇక్కడ పెద్దదిగా భవనం పెట్టి వచ్చే భక్తులకందరికీ అనుకూలాలు పరిచి తగినటువంటి సేవలు చేస్తూ వచ్చాను.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫర్ దట్ రీజన్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ బిల్ట్, ఆల్ దీస్ కన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆర్ మేడ్ ఫర్ ది కంఫర్ట్స్ అండ్ ది కన్వీనియన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ ది విజిటింగ్ డివోటీస్.
దట్ వాజ్ ద బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫుటేజ్ ఆఫ్ Swami moving around the various places in Prashanthi Nilayam. There is this quotation that is often said, the grass on the other side looks greener. But we can tell you that we have never felt that.
Yeah.
We have always felt that the grass on our side where we have had the opportunity to be seated is green, and nothing can be greener than this.
Yes.
And what a beautiful opportunity it is, you know, even to think of it. Many of these, you know, when you talk about Bhagavatam, the very thought of Pandharpur, the very thought of Kashi, the very thought of Badri fills a devotee's heart with the, you know, a sense of devotion. For all of us, just the name Prashanthi Nilayam or Puttaparthi, as you said, now Swami has put the Hanuman so high up. So in such a distance, you kind of get a sense of, we are nearing Prashanthi Nilayam, that feeling. But again, that sense of what Amai was telling, Prashanthi Nilayam is special because when we come here, it is so easy for us to concentrate all our attention and all our energies on Swami. And I think there lies the hint too. Where you are able to concentrate and focus on Swami, there you can create your Prashanthi Nilayam. And I think if we are not able to do that, then we are not making the best use of what Prashanthi Nilayam is meant for. When we were all children, Palvikas, and when we used to go to Swami's darshan, there used to be this photo of Swami with a quote about darshan, right? Where Swami would say, after a darshan, find a quiet corner, absorb the energies and spend a little bit of time on contemplation. That quote would end with a very important instruction from Swami. Swami would say, to whom much is given, much is expected. So in the past 3 weeks, we spoke about how much Swami has given. But for all that there has been given to us, that has been bestowed on us, there is so much that is expected of us. And what is expected of us, I think, is very closely intertwined with another gift that we would like to speak about. So we hope that in the next episode of this series that we've got to come together and put forth for you and offer in front of Swami, we will be able to talk about the another gift that is most important, and that makes all of this more valuable and usable.
In fact, you know, when some devotees were coming to Prashanthi Nilayam and they said, Swami, you have given us so many chances. Is this because we are continuously coming to Prashanthi Nilayam that, you know, you have blessed us with so much of grace? Swami said, yes, that is there because you have come to Prashanthi Nilayam, you have got so many opportunities and chances of grace. But for you to get sampurna krupa, for you to get complete grace, you have to hold on to something else. And what is that something else? That is what we want to take up in the next episode. So with prayers to Bhagwan, we seek his permission and his blessings to do this one more session where we can share with you
what is it that will ensure that we are all the time enveloped with complete grace of Bhagwan? And that will be the probably the last session where we'll be sharing with you some of these beautiful gifts that Bhagwan has given us. And as Brother Amay and others also have shared, there are so many gifts that Bhagwan has given us, and let us take this opportunity as we pray to Bhagwan on Aradhana Day. Let us think about every blessing that Bhagwan has given us and use each of these precious moments, use this every moment to sanctify our lives and make us worthy of receiving His love and grace. Thank you so much. Sairam.